Lecture 7, The Buddhist Monastic Community.
In the last three lectures, we've been talking about the Buddha, first of all, by telling the story of the Buddha's life, and then beginning to dig a little bit into the categories of the Buddha's teaching, the Buddha's Dharma. When we do this, we're really taking our cue, actually, from a fundamental formula that's used in the Buddhist tradition to express faith in the tradition itself. It's called the Three Refuges. Some people have said that it functions in Buddhism a little bit like the Lord's Prayer or some other very common affirmation of faith does in other religious traditions. And it sounds simply like this. In English, you would say, I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha, or the Buddha's community. These are the three focal points of faith in the Buddhist tradition. So people would recite as part of an ordinary daily ritual these three refuges, and for some people it is used as a formula when they want to assert that their own Buddhist identity. They say that they take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So obviously the next important issue for us to consider here in our discussion of Buddhism is the nature of the Sangha, or the community. We need to know something about how that community developed, what some of the issues were that affected its historical evolution, and how it's functioned as a bearer for the memory of the Buddha himself, and of course also as a vehicle for the expansion of his teaching. Now, at the very beginning, of course, the community was quite small and really consisted of just an informal band of followers wandering with the Buddha as he wandered the roads of northern India, visiting from town to town, teaching his Dharma, and gathering together a band of disciples and lay followers. It was a diverse community. It's often spoken of as having four parts: monks, nuns, the male and female members of the monastic community, and male and female lay supporters. So that you can ask yourself to start with, what are the basic roles, the basic types of people who would be found in a Buddhist community? And I think probably the best place to start, right at the very beginning, is with the role of the lay supporter, because obviously these monks and nuns can't really continue for very long unless they've got a lot of devoted lay people to support them. And when we talk about the lay supporter, obviously there are quite a few pretty good examples of lay supporters in the Buddhist tradition. I like to focus on a man by the name of Anattapindika, who is called a donor, a great donor in Pali and in Sanskrit also. A donor is called a Dhanapati, a lord of generosity. The word dana, of course, comes from the same root as our word donor. So a Dhanapati is a lord of generosity, somebody who makes generous donations. The story about Anattapindika is that he felt the community needed to have some kind of a place to live where they could set up shop and be able to teach in some kind of settled way to the community in which he lived. And there was a particularly desirable place out in territory that surrounded the town. He offered to buy it from its owner, and the man said, I wouldn't sell it to you unless it were paved with gold. And Anattapindika, according to the story, what would he do? We're here in the realm of the miraculous and the extraordinary. He paved it with gold. He spread gold coins across the ground and bought the land for the use of the Buddha's monastic followers. And I suppose you could say from that time to this, Anattapindika and other great donors like him have been models of generosity for the lay supporters of the community. Now, this is pretty obvious in a way. It's been pretty clear from what I've said about Buddhist monasticism that you couldn't have these monks unless there were a devoted band of generous lay followers to support them.